First of all, let me start off by saying that this is going to be one of the most extensive series that I've ever done on Ram Radio. This is Pastor John from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, thanking you for joining me. And I want to thank Karsten Miller for allowing me to use his family and family pictures as an illustration of a Christian marriage relationship. This very special series is done because of all of the statistics that I've been reading lately and the situations that I've personally seen in marriage relationships. It's time for me to address this as more than a webcast, but as a principle of life. Thank you for joining me. I'd like to hear your comments about this series, what you think, what you know. And I'd also like to encourage you to pray for me as I continue to present this series. I have an awful lot of material that I've gleaned from over the years, and I thought that what I'd do is just take it right off of my computer database and give it to you the way it is. Thank you for joining me for the webcast today. Music provided by George Winston. The marriage supper and the marriage of the bride to Jesus would take place very, very soon. And I believe that it's right around the corner. And I believe that it would be a welcomed event. You know, it's a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ in the church when it speaks about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, the relationship of Christ to the church betrays the relationship between a husband and a wife. This mystery reveals that Christ is asking us as the church to be his wife. We're to be married to him, basically. We have the freedom of choice to say yes or no to him. Should we say yes, the mystery includes how the engagement is initiated and the rules which are to be followed during this particular engagement period. These rules must include how we are to wait for our husband to come and take us away. This involves the marriage itself and the celebration, including the marriage supper. The Bible gives us, or it intimates all of these beautifully divine mysteries that we understand takes place during this great, great wedding feast that's going to take place. Every aspect of our marriage to Christ is covered in the Bible, and all aspects of an earthly marriage are covered in the Bible also. So we then have to ask this question: why do some nations of the world deviate, and even America, so today, deviate so much from the biblical concept of marriage that has been laid down by God himself? And I would even say that in our society today, we don't adhere to those particular commands. The answer is clear. It's the deceiver. See, Satan is causing certain nations, certain people in this nation, to follow very unbiblical traditions. And it causes the people of, causes the people that Jesus calls to have a much more difficult time understanding what a Christian relationship to Jesus Christ is, as well as what a Christian marriage is, because we have a tendency to look at the media to try to discover what a marriage looks like. And I just got to tell you right up front, you will never truly discover what a marriage looks like as you look to the media. It's not where you gain your information. Satan is the author of confusion. Would you agree with me on that? And many Christian preachers in today's churches in various countries, especially I believe in America, hold to some very unbiblical marriage traditions. They're afraid to go against these particular traditions, which conflicts with the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. That's why I think it important for me to do this series again. They turn away from the teaching of God's truth, and in some areas because of the persecution that they might have to go through. But I don't believe it's that much persecution. So, the first question that needs to be answered is marriage of God or of man? I apologize if you hear me slurping this morning. The coffee is almost good. I got up this morning. I couldn't sleep around 3:30. I had to get up, start working on this immediately. I came in to check my email and immediately received a bunch of pictures of the Karsten family and thought that I would use those excellent pictures of a family and other pictures that I have on my hard drive here of families that I know all over the country as I spearhead this very important series. My weekly webcast will be on marriages because marriages are in such poor shape today. Just poor. So is marriage of God or of man? All right? Because if marriage is ordained of God, then we have to do marriage God's way. I mean, I think that that's obvious. Some of the difficulties is that we're listening to the world that we live in, and listening to the world that we live in isn't really going to handle that question for us. Marriage is honorable at all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We find that in Hebrews 13:4. So marriage is an honorable thing. You've heard me say in various conversations about marriage and how marriage goes, that whatever happens in the married bed between the husband and the wife is fine. I won't go any further than that. I think going any further than that is a little crazy for a pastor. I don't think it's right for a pastor to tell a married couple what to do in bed. You know, here recently we have a collaboration of a book by black pastors that graduated from the Master's Seminary. I don't know what this thing is. I think it's Bobby Scott, Carl Hargrove, and Paul Felix get together and they collaborate a book on sex and the black man, I guess, in the inner cities. Why did they need to write a book about that? We got a Bible. Simple. You know what? Here again, I don't mean to be negative about this. I'm not trying to knock out book sales, but maybe I am trying to be negative. Maybe I am trying to knock out the book sales. We need to read our Bibles, and we need to be faithful to God Almighty, and we wouldn't have to be reading these other people's books about what they have to say. And I sure enough don't want to follow some of the sex lives of some of these pastors out here. Because some of them are just flat out to tell you are boring. Boring. If I were married, I would want my sex life with my wife to be an exciting one. One that excites me. I'm not just necessarily a missionary position man. I'm not telling you what to do. But there are far more exciting things that you can do as husband and wife. Now, in the Christian sense, a man is permitted one wife, and a woman is permitted one husband. It is written one wife in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. One wife in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. One wife in Titus chapter 1, verse 6. She is to have her own husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Okay, we got that. Settle. One. All right? Not two. And just let me start off by saying it's all these men going around here and these women going around here divorcing each other, trying to get another spouse. And look, what has happened is water under the bridge. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about some of the improper decisions that you've made as a Christian. No. I would that you were like me, married to one woman for 34 years plus. That is a biblical idea. I don't know what the problem is. And can I be candid? Because you know this series is going to be a very candid series on marriage. If you know what to do with what you have, and if you don't know what to do with what you have, you need to come and sit in my counseling room and have counseling. I recall once I was counseling a young man that was married, and he said that his wife was too fat. I said, hey, get up at 4 o'clock and go to the gym with her. Get on that treadmill with her. I'm up at 3:30 this morning getting started. All right? So stop talking about she's too fat. If she's too fat, stop buying all that fattened food. Y'all eat just a little. You know what I had for dinner 2 days in a row, and I'm going to have the same thing tonight. Going to have a little piece of salmon that I put in a piece of Pyrex. I'm trying to help you guys. Non-fat. Okay. And I put a lot of seasoning or what did they call it? Or original, organo, or whatever it is. I put various, not just pepper, but seasonings on it. And just a little soy sauce for the salty flavor. And I have a lemon tree in the backyard. And I slice a lemon and squeeze a lemon juice on it, seal it off in aluminum foil, put it in the oven for about 40 minutes. Just make about a half a cup of rice, half a cup of rice and some vegetables, and that's it. That for dinner. No bread. If I drink anything, it's probably a little cranberry juice or something like that. Just a wonderful meal. No fat. Stop eating red meat. Stop it. Stop eating beef and pork. Your woman will immediately lose weight. I think I eat bacon maybe once every 3 or 4 days. I have for breakfast, I have corn tortilla, kind of like sauteed in olive oil, and a couple of slices of bacon and one egg. And a couple of corn tortillas, kind of like, what do they call them? Tostadas or something like that. That's what I make for breakfast, and a cup of coffee. That's about it. Okay, no animal fats, no red meats. Even try to get away from turkey sausage and things like that. I have a friend of mine that's going through, man, he's on an olive oil diet. He drunk about a quarter of that stuff and trying to clear out his colon and changes because he's getting too fat. I says, man, stop it. You know, I hope I don't have to go through that. I weighed myself this morning, and as we go through this marriage series, I want you to work with me. I think the scale said 185. That's too heavy for me. I should be no more than 173 at the most. So, now I don't need a wife. I got little bro man here, so we're going to be walking once a day. And the reason that I'm up so early is because I got school and I got to get these webcasts out. Okay, I got to teach. Now, so we understand that it's one wife, one husband. I like the part of the Bible says that a man that finds a woman that he wants to marry, she must be in the Lord. So brothers, stop looking out there, looking for these Halle Berrys and looking for these. And, you know, that's why I chose the couple, the first couple, the Carstens. I'm going to show you some other. Man, I think all of the couples of the young people that I know around the country are some beautiful young couples. And God is good. You know, you're a Christian. You don't have to be the ugly duckling. No. Don't get me wrong, I don't think anybody's ugly, but at the same time, I'm just going to tell it to you right. If you let yourself go, you, honey, child, you done let yourself go. Wait a minute, when you married him, you was looking fine. Now you're not trying to look fine no more. Don't even put on the dress, don't even dress up for him. You know he's a man, he's carried away by what he sees. So this woman must be in the Lord. And he must be in the Lord. Ladies, you're around here trying to look for somebody like Ku Morashi Duha. I don't know who these rap players are. No, you don't need to be marrying people like Eazy-E and Tupac, Wok Wok, and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of you gals out there want you some gangster thugs. Trust me, you don't want them. You don't want them. If you ever want to be treated, you know, you guys remember that old Temptation song, Treat Her Like a Lady? Not if you get that kind of dude. Not really. And I know some of you young men out there, you have ambition. You know, we look at these videos and we look at all these things and man, I want to be like that. Why don't you, hey, you want to see somebody you want to be like? Look at me. Be like PJ. I don't think I'm a square all ranked up. You know, like when I go to some of these pastors' conferences in my area, you should see the way some of these Christian guys dress. I said, come on, man, step it up. Buy you a Nike a sweatsuit or something, man. Dress like you got some sense. One day I was looking at something on television and they had Dr. J in a television commercial. Have you guys seen that lately? Dr. J looking just like me, looking good. With his gray hair, got it all edged up, nice, looking good. He said, you know, I am a doctor, you know. Boom. Look good with your bad self. When you get old, because you're a Christian, you don't have to look all going to pieces. All right. So the man or his parents may choose the woman to be considered, for it is written, listen to this. I don't know whether you ever read this. She is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. See, let your mom and daddy help you choose the right woman or the right man for you. But that person is at liberty who they choose. It doesn't have to be your parents. Well, I want you to marry her. No, because you're marrying the person that you're going to be with the rest of your life. She is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord, if she's a Christian. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. It is also written, yet be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, this is if you are not married, because if you got married prior to this, well, then what you see is what you get. You married what you got. You have taken what you got. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, don't be yoked together with an unbeliever because you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. I was talking with a young man, and the young man told me, Pastor John, I'm going through what you're going through. I said, what's that, brother? He says, man, I just get out in my car, out in the garage, and I just cry. Wife didn't cut him off and everything else. Yeah, I've gone through days like that. It's a terrible thing. Brothers, it's a terrible thing when your wife don't want to hold you no more, when she don't want to kiss you, when she don't want to get close to you. Now, it could have been something that I did, could have been something she was going through, but whatever, when you married, we're going to go into those discussions. You will have those times when she will not want to touch you. She will not want to hold you. She will not want to do that. But I like what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, in like manner, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. See? And you know what? When we choose, this is what I'm going to tell you throughout this entire series. My friends, make sure that you choose wisely. Make sure that you choose wisely. The man invites to ask the woman to be his wife. Now, we're going to spend a little time here because we're living in a day and age where it's stated that the woman is the one that says, now, you come on now, we need to get married now because you out there running the streets and the Holy Ghost told me you're going to marry me. First of all, gentlemen, if a woman come to you like that, stay away from that witch because that's what she is. The man invites or asks the woman to be his wife. Jesus asked us to be his wife, didn't he? In Revelation 22:17, he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Right? That's Revelation 22:17. Then Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," in Matthew 11:28. Now you may say, well, that's not good, very good exegesis. That's not saying that the woman can. Well, all right, let me give it to you like this. I gave those verses because those are the verses that a particular Christian had in his Bible study outline. I knew when I read it that you would disagree with it because you already living in a rebellious state of mind, especially you sisters that think that you run everything. And please don't think that this is going to be a one-sided marriage